Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Of course, I'm Kenneth Copeland. It's amazing when you begin to talk about and think about decisions. And we read yesterday from the Bible in the book of Joel, people are in the valley of decision. Well, we know that the way God demonstrated the blessing and the curse was two mountains over the valley, the city of Shechem, the curse mountain and the blessing mountain, so that they could make a right decision and not choose the curse things. No. Hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. But you had to decide. Okay, well, that's First Covenant. Let's go to the ministry of Jesus in the book of Mark, chapter 10, beginning with the 17th verse. And when he, Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Now, put this in your imagination. Here's a man running. He is eager to know something, running and kneeled to him. So far, he's made a good decision here. Running, and he kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Okay, that's the question. That's all he asked. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God." Now, the first thing out of his mouth, he got corrected. Mm-hmm. I don't think that sat too well with him. All I did was ask the guy a question, and he nails me with this. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and mother." That's not all 10.
Nope.
"And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. He made a terrible decision. He missed apostleship.
Yes, he did.
Was he not a wonderful replacement for Judas when the time came? They would not have had to draw straws.
No. And he knew how to handle money already.
He already did.
Yeah.
Did a good job of it. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. He missed apostleship because he went away. What could have, should have decision have been? "Well, sir, I don't much agree with that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to sell what I have and give to the poor. But I still want to know about eternal life. And I'm just going to stay with you until I find out." Mm-hmm. Ed Dufresne. They owed $500,000 on the church property. The property had become more valuable, and the bank wanted them to lose it. No extensions unless you have $300,000. He was in a hotel room about to go preach somewhere, and he was in the bathroom there, shaving and so forth. And he heard a key in the door. He said, "Oh, they've given somebody the key to my room." when he walked in the front room there, the ceiling disappeared, and these huge angels were standing there, armed. Mm-hmm. He said if the ceiling hadn't disappeared, he said they'd been head and shoulders over the ceiling of that room. He said, "Who are you?" They said, "We're your prosperity angels. Why'd you come? We're going to help you get that money." He said, "What are you waiting for?" They said, "The command." He said, "Go!" They disappeared. He and his attorney were in a room. It's over. His secretary came in and said, "There's a man out here you need to see." She said, "You need to talk to this one." A man in a jogging suit came in. He said, "I don't know you. I've heard you preach and you scare me. I don't know why I'm doing this. But here's a check for $300,000. I'm a local lawyer." He didn't know why he made that decision, but we do.
That's right.
Don't forget the angels. Then they were having another meeting because they still need $200,000. Another man was receiving an offering and they were working toward this, and that lawyer was in there dressed and nice. Well, the man receiving started talking to him, and Ed trying to get his attention. "No, he's already given. But he said, "How about you, sir?" He got up there and he said, "I'm ashamed of myself." He said, "I was supposed to have given $500,000, and I didn't do it. I still don't know why I'm doing this, but here's the rest of it."
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
He didn't know why he made the decision, but we do.
Right.
Those prosperity angels stayed on his case because God had chosen that man to do it. You see the connection there? Mm-hmm. God had chosen him to do this, which connected him to Ed Dufresne, which connected him to a full gospel tongue talking bold man of God, and he became his partner in ministry.
One choice, one decision.
So we need to remember the angels are involved in these decisions.
Yes, sir.
So if the angels are involved...
Or not involved in because of the decision.
That's right. Well, you know the devil's involved in it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be invited. You can remember this. The Spirit of God said through the Apostle John in the letter of 1 John, perfected growing love casts out fear.
Yeah. That's right.
For a while, I read the book of 1 John every day. Every day. For quite a while. And it settled in my heart and mind. As long as I keep the commandment of love from the 13th chapter of John, 34th and 35th verses, when the Master said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And all men, all people will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another." Then I realized, Greg, the moment I get out of love, the spirit of fear is there. It doesn't take a week or two.
Ready to take advantage.
Yes.
This passage that you just read, Mark 10, bothered me for the longest time because I had the Lord ask me in an encounter with him, "What do you want of me? What do you want?" And my answer immediately was, "I want to be a disciple of yours, just like Peter, just like John. As if I was there, I want to be modern day
yes.
disciple." And I've had people say to me before, "When he asked you that, why didn't you say this? That was the dumbest thing in the world to say." Well, no, that was me. That's what I wanted. And so here's a guy asking, and he's being turned away, and it bothered me. But he wasn't being turned away of being a disciple. That would have been the outcome. He said, He kneeled to him and asked, and the Lord said, do this, and I underlined it right here. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? It was about eternal life. I can't do anything except receive what he did. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about all these things. This is why he didn't list all 10. And then out of here, he says, and he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I observed. His whole faith was on himself and not on the master. And so when you get your faith on him, that's the valley of decision. That's exactly what was happening in Deuteronomy 27, 28, 29, 30. Moses is giving that next generation the instructions. Matter of fact, if we could, let me show you something in Deuteronomy 30 that a lot of people miss and don't see. When we're talking about the decisions that have to be made here, and it shall come to pass when all these things come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I've set before thee, thou shalt call to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee. Wait a second. He's already talking about sending them to all the nations in verse 1. You skip on down here in verse 6, and it says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. Wait a second. Circumcise their heart. That's not part of Abraham and the circumcision.
That's right.
Chapter 30 is New Covenant.
Yes, it is.
He's talking about a day. Actually, Brother Copeland, this will sound a little crazy to some people. Deuteronomy 30 is talking about our day.
Yes.
And the choices that we make. Now, here's what's interesting. This is the last book of the Torah.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen to me until I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life.
That's right.
My heart was circumcised right there. There's a slash in my spiritual heart.
Yes, sir.
There is a cut there that the devil can see.
The spirit world can see it. Absolutely true. Look at this. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might, that thou mayest live. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. He is my life, it says on down there in the next verse. He's talking about the new covenant here. Now, here's the interesting thing in the decisions that God has asked you to make. This is Moses' final instructions, the last book of the Torah, before they go into their promised land. It is, we know some of this because of chapter 31. It's Moses' birthday when this happens.
I didn't know that.
It's his birthday. He's 120 years old when he gives those instructions. He will die and go to heaven that day. It's the last things that Moses is going to say to his people. And it says a very powerful marker in chapter 31, Moses' birthday, the day he would die, he's 120 years old. And it says that he could no longer go out or come in. Doesn't mean he was sick and feeble. No, he couldn't go into the promised land. Chapter 34 tells us that his eye was not dim and he was full of strong and he was vigor. So all of these chapters, 27, 28, 29, and 30, they're going to perform that when they cross over. But I find it very interesting that he was 120 years old. It was his birthday when he gives those instructions about a new covenant. God allowed him to see our day.
Yes, he did.
Just like he did with Abraham. And that's why he called you.
From the top of Mount Nebo.
Absolutely right. And that's why he called you to live to that age to fulfill this, because this is talking about the new covenant. Somebody needs to hit that number for this generation, and so that requires a choice. You may not have been asked to make that choice, but it required somebody to make a choice, ask you to make that choice. And so that choice means you have to get your spirit in shape, you got to get your soul in shape, now you got to get your body in shape. And in all of those things, you see that with him, because Moses made the choice. His eye was not dim. He was not. He walked up the mountain at 120 years old to look into the promised land when he laid down and God buried him at that moment.
And
that's our covenant.
And you look at when he left Egypt, exiled, he thought.
God had him out there for many years. He knew every part of that wilderness.
Yes, he did.
To him, it was not a wilderness. He lived there. He was acclimated to it. He knew the people. Been there long enough to learn the language of another man and had completely forgotten the Egyptian language. It was not because he stuttered. Don't let that get in the way. No. But Aaron didn't leave Egypt. No. He was still fluent in Egyptian.
That's right. And he became the mouthpiece for him. Let me prove this with one other verse that I failed to mention a second ago. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. Wait a minute, they're going into their promised land. There's no captivity. Look into a forward day.
Yes, sir.
And have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God has scattered thee or sown thee.
Now, the reason I brought that up about his language, and I'm getting ahead, but we'll get there next week. Mm-hmm. But God knows the beginning from the end. He is in the future now. And we have to, by our faith, take things that are in the future and bring them back here.
That's right.
Because he already knows. Well, how can that? Don't ask me how he does that. I don't know. He has an infinite mind because he created all things.
That's right.
And he had a plan when he did it. And his plan was perfect. And the devil fouled it up. But he had to have him out there in that desert.
That's right. He learned how to be a shepherd out there.
Yes, he did. And then this brought he and Aaron back together. Mm-hmm. And then God had the audacity to say, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, your prophet. Huh? Aaron, you're a prophet. I had a young man come to my house one night. And he said, I believe the Lord has called me to be your prophet. I said, what do I need you for? Well, and he went on through all of this trying to worm his way around. And then I realized that he had a calling on his life to serve and to serve this ministry. But he took that way out of context, and he wanted to be my prophet. So wherever I went, he could prophesy and tell me what to say to the people. I said, no, I think I can take care of that myself. But see how you can twist something like that? The devil took that opportunity. I'm saying this because of someone. There are churches that choose apostles. So we have a New Testament church. That's not a New Testament church. That's a church full of confusion. They're making decisions way out of their pay grade. He has chosen.
That's right.
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He has set them among the church. This is Jesus' choice. He's the commander in chief.
That's right.
Of the body of Christ.
Do the work of an apostle, but that didn't mean that person was an apostle.
No, that's right. Now, when you take modern day prophets.
Yes, sir.
Roland Baker was born in China. Grandfather, a Chinese missionary. He met a little woman called Heidi. And 6 months later, they were married. Now they live in Mozambique. And they are having outstanding miracles. They are New Testament apostles.
Right.
God has sent them into that foreign land to establish schools, education, and the surrounding areas, and has changed the hearts and minds of people of other religions and so forth. And it's just still affecting the world, and now it's affecting the United States. They are Jesus apostles.
And they don't have to call themselves that or prove that. They are that. The fruit demonstrates that.
Yes.
And that's what we do. We don't have to call ourselves that. We just, the fruit will show that. Deuteronomy 37, and the Lord thy God put all these curses upon thine enemies. That goes back to Abraham. You got three different covenants overlapping in these instructions. So these instructions, the reason I bring that up, to make a choice is not an old covenant thing. It's a new covenant thing. Moses saw it and said, no, it's part of circumcision of the heart as well. And the curse being put on the enemies that was done to Abraham. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse him that curses you. In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So we have to choose in our day, even so the way they did others. Think about the two mountains. You had a king hanging on a tree. And you had the priest down there. And so we have been called kings and priests. And we're going to have to choose, just like they had to choose, whether we're going to operate in the blessing or operate in the curse.
Now let's look and see what this young man missed. Jesus went ahead and answered his question after he left.
Yes.
He was sad at that saying and he left. Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words. So they were not poor people.
No.
Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches. There was the deal right there. That trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus looking upon them, he said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed you. In other words, we're doing what he didn't do. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Mm-hmm. And he let them know right there, persecutions are going to come with that wealth. How well we know that's true. When we began to prosper financially, when this ministry began to prosper financially, all of a sudden I was a bad guy. And a person I knew quite well said, Copeland's ministry is just growing so fast, he must be doing something wrong. I have to be doing something wrong. What about doing something right? Bad choices. That person made a bad decision to think that or say. No, he said it. Thank you, Jesus.
Tried to intimidate you to go back on your choice you made.
And here we are out of time again. Praise God. We'll be back in just a moment.
God only says good things over your life. When you think, act, and speak the word for your health, family, and finances, that's what you'll have. But compromising the word of God will inevitably lead to failure. God's Word, Final Authority is a CD teaching by Kenneth Copeland that will help you make the decision to never compromise the Word again. Jesus, the Word in flesh, is your covenant partner. When you understand the covenant rights He bought and paid for you to have, you can take hold of them. He has a good future for you, one of health, mental and emotional wholeness, and financial freedom. Don't compromise and don't quit. Release the power of God's Word as your first and last word in every situation, and watch the Word go to work for you. The Word is where your victory starts. Align your heart and words with God's Word to live in His victory and overcoming faith. Make sure everything you think, say, or do is in agreement with God's Word. Request God's Word Final Authority, a free audio series by Kenneth Copeland, available at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Make God's Word Final Authority in your life today. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. We're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Now, the Bible says we should judge ourselves. Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." He said that before He said, "Give and it'll be given unto you." Make the right decisions. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, remember this. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. We'll see you tomorrow.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.